Well, good morning, everyone, and happy Easter Sunday. This is Ann Baldwin. It's great to have you along. You're probably right now on your way to Easter services. Let's hope so, because that is the right thing to do. And I thought to bring in today's guest would be just appropriate because it is Easter Sunday. And with me in the studio this morning, I have Father Israel Rivera. Father, thank you so much for being here. He is with St. Joachim, formerly St. Mary's Church in New Britain, Connecticut. And I know this is a busy time of year. We're in the midst of, we just had Holy Week. So there's a lot going on. So thanks for taking the time. And we're going to put things in perspective for people, Father, right?
Thank you. And Ian, happy Easter to
Thank you.
Happy Easter to everyone who is listening to this radio show. I'm happy to be here.
Well, and I'm especially blessed this year because my mother and my sister flew out from Florida to come see me for this Easter celebration, so we're having a good time.
Beautiful.
We're adults, but we even dyed Easter eggs.
Exactly.
So, Father, tell our listeners a little bit about where are you from? How did you end up in New Britain, Connecticut?
I am originally from Colombia. My bishop sends me 17 years ago to the Archdiocese of Hartford for a period of 3 years only, but the situation changed and I ended up staying in the Archdiocese, and I have been here since then from in different parts of the Archdiocese, in Hartford, in Bristol, and now in New Britain.
And how long have you been at the parish in New Britain?
12 years.
12 years. And you know, you are so endeared. I know my good friend Bill Tomaso, I said, hey, do you know a good priest who would be good on the radio? And he immediately thought of you. It was interesting, too, because he told me the story about his, I think it was either his grandfather or great-grandfather, actually dug the foundation for your church.
Yes.
That whole family is huge supporters of the Catholic faith and of your church. So I'm glad that he found you for me. So thank you, Bill, if you're listening to this. Let's go back a little bit. So I won't tell people how old you are. But why did you decide to pursue the priesthood?
My family is a very Catholic family, and we have been part of the prayer groups, and I was an altar server. So I was always close to the church, to priest, and I loved everything back then about the church. So when I finished my high school, I felt this call from the Lord to pursue the priesthood, and I spoke with the bishop, and he says, I'm going to send you. And yeah, I think the influence comes from being in a good Catholic atmosphere in my
growing
family.
And where did you grow up?
In Colombia, next to the capital of Colombia, Bogota. So it was like a small town, and all about church around us.
Yes, I think that's life for a lot of us, right? I know that was also my upbringing. It wasn't just Easter Sunday that we went to church, or Christmas. It was, get out of bed, let's go, let's get dressed up, and let's go to church. And I didn't really appreciate that back then, but today it's really part of the fiber of who you are when you've had that foundation of religion, regardless of your religion. And I think that's kind of what's missing in our world today.
But in the midst of the crisis, also I see some signs of hope of people getting tired of the situation in the world, the crisis that we are living in, and they are a lot of people coming back to the faith, coming back to church. That's what I see. I don't want to sound triumphalistic or anything, but I see signs of hope in the midst of all of this. But without faith, where are we going?
That's absolutely right. And I agree with you, Father, because regardless of where you live, I see more younger families coming in, and I see, younger kids coming into the church. And that's hopeful. It really is hopeful, because I mean, without religion, where are we going to be? It's not a good thing to think about. But let's keep it on the upside. So let's talk a little bit about Holy Week. You've had a very busy week, culminating with today, Easter Sunday. So what is the significance of the days in the Catholic faith leading up to Easter Sunday?
We are celebrating today, in this Easter Sunday, the most important celebration of our faith, which is the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. What we celebrate is that Christ defeated death, that he is the victor over death and darkness. And everything began on Ash Wednesday, and for 40 days, we're preparing with fasting, prayer, almsgiving, and enter into like a the desert to be with the Lord. And this preparation is 40 days that leads us to Holy Week. And in the Holy Week, we celebrated Good Friday, the Last Supper, the washing of the feet, the institution of the Eucharist, of the priesthood, the commandment of love. Then on Good Friday, we celebrated the Passion and Death of our Lord with the adoration of the cross. And then we celebrated last night the solemn vigil, the solemn Easter vigil of the resurrection of the Lord with baptisms, communions, confirmation, as an explosion of joy, because the Lord, with his death on the cross and resurrection, has set us free and has opened the gates of heaven for us. So now we don't die, we live. And what we celebrate on this Easter Sunday is that we have hope in Christ, the hope that doesn't disappoint. And this is the core of our Catholic faith. To celebrate Easter is celebrate that we have this gift and this promise of eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Don't you feel, Father, I don't want to put words in your mouth, that a lot of people look at this as their resurrection, regardless of your past? You know, whether it's maybe it's been addiction, maybe it's been divorce, maybe it's, you know, crime. Who knows what people go through, right? But it's never too late to start over, to start anew. Is that really the message, do you think, that a lot of people get when it comes to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ?
It is. It is. Because sometimes we think, oh, poor Jesus, they killed my Jesus. But thank goodness he came out from the tomb, so he is now in heaven, I don't know, playing games in mm-hmm. his tablet or something like that. Now, he came for you because of your sins, because of my sins, and he crucified my sins on the cross. And if he broke the chains of death, coming out from the tomb alive, is because he wants to give you a new life. And as you mentioned, Anne, some people are suffering from addictions, from difficult past lives and histories, and the Lord is coming to redeem all of this, to make you anew. So the Lord is telling you who are listening this morning, this Easter Sunday, there is hope for you, and you are in some type of darkness or hopelessness, or you are grieving, you are sad for some situation that is happening in your life. The Lord is telling you, come out of the tomb, come out, like he said to Lazarus, come out, because he has the power to defeat your death. So the best therapy, the best medicine, your consolation is Christ, because he's coming to give you a new life with his resurrection. So if you die with him, you also are raised with him to a new life.
You know, and that's what the message that a lot of people need. If you're just tuning in on this Easter Sunday, this is Anne Baldwin speaking with Father Israel Rivera, and he is with St. Joachim, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I wish you would have kept it at St. Mary's, but that's what's happening, right, with a lot of churches as they merge. I know they did with our parishes in Windsor. They changed the name.
Yes.
What do you see when you look out, you know, from the pulpit, when you look out at your parishioners? Let's just use Easter Sunday as an example. You know, usually the place is packed because people who have fallen out maybe come back, you know, and I think that's okay, but you should be there more often than that. But what do you think when you see a crowded, you know, a parish full of people, families, children on Easter Sunday in particular?
Well, what I see is this thirst and this hunger and this need of the transcendental, what is metaphysic, what is beyond this world. Because people, yes, they're working hard, they're earning this money, they are more or less happy in their homes, but they know there is something else, and they know that there is a God, and in worshiping him and seeking him, we feel I think I'm coming from the Lord, I am God, and the Lord is having something for me. So when I see the church back, I see a natural, the Lord instills something in our hearts that only he can fulfill, which is this joy that we all are looking for in many places, sometimes in money, sometimes in pleasure, sometimes in material things. But the only one that can really make you complete is God. That's what I see in a day like this.
In those people.
Yeah.
What is the message that, you know, you plan to get across Easter Sunday in your sermon?
Well, my the centrality is that the Lord Jesus Christ, who was sent by the Father not to condemn but to save, is here. And if the world is in this sometimes chaotic situation and crisis, we have a Lord, we have a Savior who has defeated the chains of death, and we have a life, a new life. And if you believe that He's the way, the truth, and the life, that He's resurrection and life, then you are in the good side. So I invite you to live in this hope, in the love, in the hope that Christ is eternal life, that He has this promise for you.
It was interesting. I was in my church on Palm Sunday, and they hand out the palms, you know, to all, everybody in the beginning and in the end. And, you know, for kids, it's a weapon. They're sitting there throughout the Mass, you know, whacking each other with the palms. What is this, in your definition, what is the significance of the palms that we take to our homes, and what are we supposed to do with those after Palm Sunday?
Well, the palm signifies that we recognize Christ as the King that has come to destroy death, and he's a humble king, and these palms are like the palm of victory. The victory is his.
That's what they waved in the air, right?
Exactly. It's like, right. Hosanna to the blessed one who comes in the name of the Lord. And we keep these palms in home, and if you can bring them back to your own churches so they can be burned down in the ashes for Ash Wednesday comes from this palm that we burned.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah, they are, because they are blessed, and that's what we use.
That's very interesting. I learned something. So I grew up going to catechism and memorizing, you know, all the different prayers that we recite, you know, in church as a Catholic every Sunday. But not that long ago, a few words in all of those were changed. So I'll give you an example of one. So it used to be peace be with you and also with you. And now it's peace be with you and
with your spirit. Yes.
So, you know, in the beginning, I'm like just blurting out the wrong words, and so are a lot of people around me. So, you know, and even, you know, in some of the homilies and some of the other things, just a few words have changed. And so why is that?
Because the church revised the text that we have, the liturgical text that we use for the Mass, for the prayers. And because Latin is our mother language, sometimes in the translation we can get lost and we don't translate exactly what's accurate it should be. So the bishops and the experts in the liturgical books and prayers, they notice, I think we are not really close to what Latin means, which is with your spirits. And they decided, well, let us revise this and make the appropriate changes, so it's more like
Think about it more, right? Think it through.
Yeah, exactly. So close to the Latin, so people can really receive the spirit of the prayer.
Boy, it really throws me off. Like, you know, he suffered, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. And that whole prayer, there's just a few words in there. And it's so, because you know why? You know why I can't grasp the changes? Because back when I was going to catechism, I had a young mind. It absorbed things. And now as an adult, those absorption brain things are gone. So I know. But, you know, so I'll just hold it in front of me and read from it. But so in your mind, Father, you know, as a priest, as a young priest, are you hopeful? Are you hopeful for the future of not only more young men coming into the church, but for more people to gather and really examine whether you're Catholic or whether whatever religion you are? Do you think that's what's missing? That's what we really need to go back to?
Yes, I see a challenge in this modern world, and it is through technology that keeps us a little bit distracted from God, from prayer. A lot of people are now governed by tablets and phones and music, earplugs, and so we don't have the connection that we used to have before when we didn't have all of these devices. But I still see hope, because although the new generations are into technology and the new things, they are empty, and they see I have everything. I'm like a store with a lot of technology around me, but I'm not happy. I'm not joyful. So that's why they're going to vaping, alcohol, and anything, any
to
type
numb,
of slavery.
To numb them,
to
right?
To numb them and to try to find the joy that they can only find in God. So I'm hopeful. Because in the midst of the crisis and the struggles, I see that there is something inside that is telling you, I don't think this is what I'm looking for. Thank goodness for technology. It's good for medicine. It's good for exploring things, new worlds, etc. But it's not bringing me the joy that only God can bring to my life. And the youth are realizing that. Mm-hmm. A lot of the youth are looking for something else and going for example, purity. They say, oh, I'm tired and sick of these movies, music that are leading me to sin. I am striving for something else. And families praying together, and families, and we had to go back to church. So signs of hope all over the place I see. Anne,
you know, I took a bit of a break from the church. One was because of my alcoholism. I wasn't in the right mindset, but 13 years sober. I'm very proud of that. And the other one was because I went through a divorce, and I didn't know if I'd be welcomed back. I questioned whether I could still go up for communion. And I think there are a lot of people like me out there that have a past, that think they're not worthy, they're not allowed or not accepted to walk back into their church. I'd like you to respond to that.
No, never. Never think that way, never feel that. Because if you think of the scripture will say that God sent his son not to condemn but to save, and the Lord came to restore our dignity. And what you see in the gospel, he says, the one who is free of sin, when he has this adulterous woman in front of him, the one who is without sin, cast the first stone. Like, the Lord came for the sick. The Lord came for the sinner. The Lord came for the lost sheep. So we all fall into these categories. We all are in need. We are all broken. We all are broken. We priests are broken.
You are?
Yes. We all need a savior. Not because the Lord has called me to my priesthood. I'm happy to be a priest, but I have my own struggles. I myself had to go to confession. I need God. The day I think, oh, I'm all set, I'm walking over the waters of death, that's a lie. Because we all need our Lord and Savior. And we keep this, our heads down, or bow before the Lord, is better. Knowing I have a medicine, I have a remedy, and His is Christ. And I'm wounded. As any of you who are listening to this radio show, we all are wounded, but we have the medicine that is called the love of God. So never feel that you don't fit, never feel that you are not welcome, no, never. The opposite comes, because the Lord has something great for you. It's love.
And I think that particularly the Catholic Church, again, we're talking with Father Israel Rivera, has also softened a bit and also, you know, opened their minds a little bit to the world is changing and people change and there are different beliefs and there's different, you know, things going on out there. But they still now, I believe, and doesn't it depend on who the Pope is as to how it trickles down and who is really accepted into the church?
No, it's more the scripture, because it's all about Christ, not just about the Pope or the Bishop of the moment, but it's about Christ. Christ is yesterday, today, tomorrow, and always. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So that's why I think in the midst of people being lost and when they don't have direction where to go, they find in the church, in the truth that saves them, a way to go, a way to walk. Because if the church start to, I don't know, negotiate with things, people are going to think, well, there is nothing really sacred. There is nothing really holy. And then everything is the same, whatever. No. Mm-hmm. But without condemning anyone, the church welcomes and invites to transform their hearts and to receive God's love and salvation and mercy. And God is merciful. That's the main thing about God. He is merciful. And He will never reject you, never. But it's also the truth. To tell the truth, to teach the truth, is an act of mercy for our brothers and sisters who are in need of listening to a word of hope.
That's a good way to put it. You know, and I always told my kids, because they did the same thing, you know, as I did, you know, reluctantly going to, you know, religion classes and reluctantly, you know, going to this and going to church on Sunday. And I said, you know what it is, as parents, in my mind, it's my job to build the foundation. And I want religion to be part of your foundation. And then whatever you put on top of that, that's up to you, right? That's how I was. I mean, going back to my grandmother, we'd go, you know, almost every weekend we'd, in Iowa, we'd drive, we'd, and that was our big thing, going to church. My grandmother was a horrible singer, though, and she sang so loud I never wanted to sit next to her. But anyway, but, you know, so that was my foundation. And I am so grateful for that. And I feel so bad for the people that are missing out on what that is like. And to have that, you know, to have that faith in their heart, regardless really of what faith you are. And I also think, too, that it's got to go beyond the building. You go there on Sunday or you go, you know, during Holy Week, and then you walk out of the door. It doesn't stop there. But and neither does society, and neither do the problems, and neither do the distractions and people being mean. So you got to take it with you if you can everywhere you go all the time.
Yes. And it is about faith and faith. That's why, again, we see families walking away from the church, the youth struggling, but some of this coming back when they realize there is a God. God exists. And I need this faith. I don't have this faith that But when you pray and you ask, because faith is a gift, then is when families start to come together stronger. Then we have vocations to the priesthood. Then we have hope for the world. But it is because a religion, I mean, faith especially, is nothing bad. It's really good. I mean, to have faith will bring peace to earth and joy to every creature on earth. So I invite you, ask for this gift of faith, faith in Jesus Christ who can save you, because there is nothing wrong, nothing bad about believing in God. The opposite. You become the better version of yourself when you have God in your life.
Absolutely. And I've also heard through the grapevine that you've been very instrumental in getting young men interested and actually on the next step to the priesthood.
Yes, and it is one of our challenges that we have, because there are fewer priests in every archdiocese in the world, and we need to make the young men to fall in love with following Christ in the consecrated life, in the priesthood. So we are, through small Christian communities, trying to involve the young men into this adventure of following Jesus Christ as a priest.
Well, I can see why you are truly an inspiration.
Thank you, and I try.
You try. You're not perfect, but you try. None of us are perfect. So we've just got about 30 seconds left. And again, Father Israel Rivera with St. Joachim, formerly St. Mary's Church in New Britain, thank you for taking the time to be here. What is your last message that you would like to leave our listeners with on this Easter Sunday?
No, to tell you that God loves you. And he has broken the chains of death for you to give you eternal life. He's saying this to you: where I am, I want you to be. And may you respond, Lord, I want you to be too. So it's, if you have God in your life, you are all set. Worry about nothing.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you again for your time. You know, God bless everyone listening to this program today. God bless you, Father. And I hope that everyone in their own way enjoys this beautiful Easter Sunday. We'll see you back here again next week, same time, same place. I'm Ann Baldwin, and thank you for tuning in to this edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.